It's my favorite time to say it's time. We have Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch. Here he is.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We got a little window of weather break, but I'm sure it'll be back to hell next week, or even later this week, meaning 90% humidity with 90 degrees, which means it feels like 100. Anyway, it's the middle of August. What do you expect? And I always think back to my early days. They were, now looking back, we're talking, I guess, almost 50 years ago. I used to go to the beach in the summer, to Fire Island, and with some friends, we shared a house. I didn't stay the whole summer. I would only stay a week or two. But in that week or two, I ended up making what I call the peach crostata, or the beach crostata, many times. And I just looked at the recipe this morning, and it says it serves six. Ha, ha, ha. Maybe you can get four servings out of it, because it's that good. And fact is, you can eat it as a meal. I mean, in the summer when you don't really want to eat too much, you can make this a meal. I'm going to happy to give you the recipe, but before I do, we have the issue of peaches. I have yet to have a good peach this summer. Have you? I don't know where you get your peaches. If I buy Jersey, you know what? For years, they've been selling New Jersey peaches at my farmer's market, and I've yet to get, well, maybe you get one out of 10 is a good one. They just don't have any flavor. They're not sweet, neither. Then you get, early in the season, you get the ones from the southeast, and I bought Georgia, Carolina, wherever they were coming from early in the season, they weren't any good either. I gave up on them pretty quickly. By the way, I'm not the only one. It's not me who's picky. I think it's the quality of the fruit that's diminished. I mentioned not being able to get a good peach. Well, let me start with my next-door neighbor, who likes fruit as much as we do, and when she finds something that she thinks is going to be good and at a reasonable price, she calls me and says, you want some of these peaches, nectarines, whatever it is. And she's a good fruit spotter. And she agrees. She has not had a good peach or nectarine this season yet either, until, I would say, the other day. I still have four of these nectarines. They're going to be very ripe today. So we're going to eat them or cook them. But finally, and I think these are coming from California, we got some good nectarines, some larger white flesh nectarines and some smaller, more regular yellow flesh nectarines. And Bob and I ate a few of them last night. And I'm going to maybe make this crostata with what's left. Because nectarines are natural substitute for peaches, one. And two, I have more luck with nectarines than I do with peaches these days. The recipe, you know, I didn't look this up this morning. I'm sure this recipe is in one of my early cookbooks. But I used to make it all the time, as I said. So it became the beach crostata. But the fact is, all this is a very rich butter cookie base, which you can press into either, it depends on how you want it to look in the end. Speaking of nostalgia, I have a deep 10-inch Pyrex pie plate that, you know, is looks like a pie. It has a ruffled edge, it's what I've been making this in for 40 years. So,
Mrs. Gannett had one of those, and she made that's what she used as well.
Well, you could easily use, if you wanted to look pretty, or not that it looks bad to begin with, if you wanted to look prettier, you could put it in a false bottom tart tin, and you know then it has that straight up and down edge. However, I do want you to have some depth here, because it's not strictly a flat thing. You press the dough. Let me tell you what the dough is. It's very easy. let's see here. How many cups of flour? I think it's two. Yeah, 2 cups of flour, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Mix it all together in a bowl, and then cut in a stick of butter. When I say cut in, you can either literally cut it in with a pastry cutter until it resembles a medium corn coarse meal, sort of coarse cornmeal. But I always pinch mine in. You just cut the butter into tablespoon pieces, put it in with the dry ingredients, and pinch it all in together until it'll hold into a like a cookie dough, which is what it is. And you don't need to grease the pan. Just press it into a 10-inch pan, as I said. It could be even a 9-inch pan, but I think the 10-inch is better. You don't want too thick a cookie bottom, but it's a delicious cookie, but still. So either a 9 or 10-inch plate, and press it in. Press it into the bottom and up the edge, and even off the edges. You put your index finger on the top and press it into your index finger. So you make a nice, neat edge. And then you arrange your fruit inside this. So the fruit, you need to peel it. I suppose, I'm thinking these days I get lazy, if you cut the fruit into wedges as opposed to halves, which is what I always did, you don't really have to peel it. So I always put halves in there. With the rounded side up, and usually, you know, 4 pieces, depends on the size of the fruit, obviously. So you dip the fruit in boiling water for 1 minute, pull it out. The peel should come off right away. It's great if you have freestone fruit. Then you can, in fact, just cut around the circumference and twist it apart and take the pit out. A lot of the fruit is not freestone. If you find unless they tell you in the store, there's no way to know. And in the store, they don't usually know either. So, in any case, either way, you arrange your fruit on top of the pastry, and sprinkle it with sugar. You're going to need a sizable amount of sugar. I would say 1/2 cup of sugar. Sprinkle it with 1/2 cup of sugar. And if you want cinnamon, you can put cinnamon in. I'm not a cinnamon fan, so I don't. But you could sprinkle it with a little bit of cinnamon. And then put this in a preheated oven, a 400-degree oven, for 15 minutes. You'll see that after 15 minutes, the fruit will start giving off juices, and the sugar will melt. And after 15 minutes, you're going to take it out, and you're going to pour in a mixture of either cream, sour cream, or yogurt. All three work. One cup of the cream product, the dairy product, and 2 eggs. Beat it all together, and pour that on top of what's now some syrup at the bottom of the pan and the fruit, and put it back in the oven for another 30 minutes. You can serve this hot, but I don't recommend it. I would say it's best at room temperature, and it's also best if it's eaten the same day it's made and never refrigerated. I've yet to make one that didn't disappear quite fast, so it's not an issue. But this is a really good recipe that I haven't made in a long time, mainly because, too much sugar for me at the moment. But, in fact, it's worth it. So the other thing, and now in the middle of August, by the way, I was in the house with we were six guys in the house, so I had to make 2 of these every time I made it. So I really became a pro at it, except that I remember once, after my beach days, I do remember making this in West Cornwall once. Not more than once, but I'm making it one time, and I don't know, something slipped, and I put too much sugar in the base, and ends up with a very crisp sugar cookie. So you can take that cookie dough that I just outlined, 2 cups of flour and a stick of butter, and add more than a quarter of a cup of sugar, a half a cup even, or three quarters of a cup, would make it a very nice sugar cookie. And you can't really roll these out. I guess you can roll them out, but it's not a kind of roll-out thing. It's a press-in-the-pan thing. And that's it. The other thing, and I may actually do this after I get off with all of you guys, is granita. Now, the first, I make granita in metal ice cube trays. If you have, by the way, metal ice cube trays, they're precious these days. It's hard to find metal ice cube trays. But the metal ice cube tray without the insert, without the cube insert, is perfect for making ices, real Italian ices, not what we call Italian. You know, Italian ices are not Italian. What we call Italian ices are strictly American. You will not find any product like that in Italy, because in Italy, granita is supposed to be, no pun intended, granulated, or crystals, large enough crystals that you can see crystals. These days, I see in Italy, they have the easy way out, and they make granita in the same machine that frozen margaritas are made in, and other frozen beverages are made in, and meaning it's churning all the time. And the crystals tend to be smaller than they used to be, or in a homemade granita. But the big difference between Italian real granita and Italian ices is that our Italian ices are very, very finely crystallized, because instead of being made the way I'm going to tell you in a minute, they're put in what's an ice cream machine, which even churns in a little bit of air. I was reminded of this and how actually awful a lot of American Italian ices are, because I had some the other night. And I was shocked at how artificial it was. I mean, because it was in a good place. And it was cherry-flavored. Well, flavored is the key word here. As somebody who's been eating a lot of cherries lately, I can tell you it did not taste like cherry. So anyway, the two main granitas in Italy, I mean, there's every fruit you can think of somewhere, including the most amazing granita I ever had, which was in Sicily, and it was mulberry granita. But anyway, and we have a mulberry tree on my corner here, and for years I've been meaning to go out on the day where they're finally falling off the tree, put a tarp underneath, and collect them enough to make a granita, but I haven't done it. Anyway, the two main ones are coffee and lemon, which anybody can do. I mean, you don't need exotic fruit. And I will never forget the first time I made coffee granita, which is the one I prefer, although I do love lemon too, is Iris taught me. Iris, my former personal assistant, but who's been living in Rome for the last 20 years, we're in constant touch, though. She taught me how to make granita, I don't know, more than 30 years ago. Anyway, and what she taught me was to put the coffee, make good, you know, strong coffee, put it in a bottle with sugar, and first, well, you don't have to do this part in the bottle. What you do is stir the sugar into the coffee. A lot of recipes you look at have you adding sugar syrup, which means you're diluting the coffee. And if you don't want it to be super strong coffee flavor, you can do that. Take a cup of water and a half a cup of sugar and dissolve it over a flame. It doesn't have to boil, really, just as long as the sugar dissolves. Let it cool, and then you mix that with your very strong coffee. And you pour the sweetened coffee, one way or the other sweetened, into a bottle, and you cork up the bottle and put it in the freezer. And when crystals start forming, usually just against the glass, because in my freezer anyway, the bottle has to go on its side, as soon as crystals start forming, you take out the bottle and you shake it and you put it back in the freezer, and you do this for hours and hours. At the end of the day, you have a wonderful large crystal coffee granita. And I say to Iris, you know, like, but this is a whole day project. She says, well, you know what? On Pantelleria, which is an island between Sicily and Tunisia and is really hot, When I lived in Pantelleria, there was nothing much else to do except make granita. So you popped up every hour and went to the. Also, I suspect we're talking about 50 years ago that the freezer that she was using on Pantelleria is not nearly as efficient as the freezers we all have. So it won't take all day if you do it that way. It'll only take a few hours, probably. But the better way, or I should say the easier way, is to just pour the sweetened coffee mixture into, as I said, a metal. It doesn't really have to be metal either, just that metal conducts the cold better than plastic, into an ice cube tray without the insert. The plastic ones, of course, don't come with inserts. And then as soon as the ice crystals start forming at the edge of the coffee, which means up against the metal, take a fork and stir those crystals into the middle, put it back in the freezer, and keep doing that until you get to a crystallization that pleases you. I happen to like it coarse. And, of course, it's better even with a dollop of whipped cream on top, but I won't go there. What a lot of Sicilians do is have this for breakfast. Brioche and granita for breakfast, or brioche even and gelato for breakfast. Actually, breakfast could last until midday. So anytime during the morning, like a cappuccino, you're not supposed to have the brioche with ice cream. You're not supposed to have it after lunch. But until lunch, you're cool. And it'll keep you cool. The other granita is lemon. And I would say that as far as Italian ice in America, the most popular is lemon. And I think that maybe you have a better chance of getting real lemon in your lemon ice than you do other flavors. And it's the same thing. Juice a few lemons. I would say for a half a cup of lemon juice, which is super tart, you're going to want a cup or so of sugar syrup, meaning what I just told you, a cup of water, half a cup of sugar until it's all dissolved. And then either do the same thing, shaking in the bottle, or pour it into a shallow tray and put it in the freezer and keep, with a fork, keep mixing it up until it's all ice crystals. Very refreshing.
Quick question. If you are pouring it into a tray, and going to interject, get stainless steel instead of an aluminium tray, thank you very much, which you can get. Do you kind of mix it first, or do you?
No, it's already mixed.
Okay.
So when you put it in the freezer, you're just freezing it.
No,
the only reason stirring it is to get the crystallization. Pardon me?
The bottle, you can when you put it in the bottle, you can shake it.
Right, you shake it.
If you put it in the tray, I guess you're going to have to schluff it.
With a fork. Take a fork, and you go around the edge and take those crystals from the edge and push them to the middle.
Right.
And you just keep doing it until the whole tray is nice.
So you don't have to do anything with it, like, you know, when you're making a salad dressing and you fork.
No, you don't have
beforehand.
To do it. No, it's already done, Jill.
Okay.
You've already mixed coffee with sugar or sugar syrup, and you've already mixed lemon juice with sugar syrup.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
That's all done.
Okay.
So all you need to do now is freeze it. You can't freeze it, just freeze it, because it won't be crystals.
Right.
It'll be an ice cube.
Right.
I have seen recipes where they tell you to freeze it and then put it in the food processor or whatever, or maybe one of these Uber blenders, but I've never done it that way. I'm old-fashioned, and actually I get a kick out of making it in a bottle. But the other way is way more efficient, as you can imagine. And even in my... I have rather lame freezers. I mean, they're just inserts in my refrigerator. They're not like a real freezer. But even in my freezer, it doesn't take all that long to freeze anything.
Yeah. No, it sounds like
it's refreshing.
It sounds therapeutic.
It is, in a way.
And
that's it.
Do you ever make any others?
No. I suppose I could make orange with orange juice, because I could get freshly squeezed orange juice around the corner. I don't even have to squeeze it myself. And that would be easy, orange. And any citrus fruit is going to be good. People swear by Meyer lemons for this, because Meyer lemons are sweeter than real lemon.
My father had a thing for Meyer lemon, and he didn't. I never delivered it.
That's another fruit. But to start with, you know, like making cherry or peach or any of these other flavors, you're talking about work.
Right.
not just pouring something in a bottle and shaking it a lot.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's.
Okay.
You don't want to have to start cooking and pureeing fruit.
No.
I must say, one that I would be tempted to do, because I miss the fresh one, is apricot. And apricots, you know, if you boil up some apricots, dried apricots, you may not even need to sweeten it, and you can puree them. And I would attempt that one. Because apricots are special. I haven't eaten a good apricot 20 years ago in France.
It wasn't. I mean, I dried are fine, but I can't remember what.
Reported to me by one of my neighbors that the store that I go to had very cheap apricots. And I said, you know what? It's just going to throw away money. I mean, they're always woolly, and they're never sweet. Anyway, I would much rather have a cooked, dried apricot than a fresh apricot. Anyway, I'm not cooking apricots today.
I understand.
I do love, but speaking of apricots, I have a recipe for this in Soup Suppers, for Eastern European fruit soup, which includes, I believe, some dried fruit among the actual fruit, the fresh fruit, including apples. And by the way, just the other day, a neighbor said, oh, we went to Brighton Beach for the day today. Because, you know, we just take the subway there, and 20 minutes you're at the beach. And we ate at Tatiana on the boardwalk, and we had the fruit soup we've been eating there for 20 years. So they're still making on the boardwalk in Brighton Beach. Although nobody claims to be Russian anymore. They all want to be Ukrainian.
Right. Oh,
well,
in
the 70s, when it was mainly Soviet Jews, I don't know how they proved they were Jewish, but anyway, Soviet Jews were coming in the 70s and taking over Brighton Beach. We called it Little Odessa, but it's not Odessa anymore. It's more, I would say, Central Asian, Russian-speaking Central Asian, than it is anybody from Russia. But there are some stores that claim to be Ukrainian, and probably Russian, too. I don't know. I haven't been in. It's hard to go in the summer unless you're going to go by train. And soon I'll be able to go by car and park. Now, there's no place to park now. So let's go and have some granita.
I think that's good. And let's not have some artificially flavored.
They're all artificially flavored.
I know.
And, you know, so I haven't
getting
had
harder
it.
And harder
I haven't.
To
I must say, I haven't dared have Italian ice in many years.
And
just
a
the
reason.
Other day, it just seemed like the right thing when the restaurant was offering cherry flavored ice. But and they also offered to put booze on top of it, which would have made it taste much better, probably.
All right.
They knew what they were doing, actually.
They knew how to disguise that.
They knew
that
it was sort of vile, but. But people would order because it was 100 degrees outside. Everybody, have a cool week, because I think we are going to have a coolish week.
That seems to be what's on the docket.
Yeah, yeah. but don't worry. Summer will be back.
Oh, right. What's it? Yeah. So it's right when you get comfortable, it will get warm.
Exactly. All right, my dears.
We thank you, Food Mensch. We thank
take
you, Arthur
care.
Schwartz, the Food Mensch. And we send love to Bob, and we'll talk to you the next time on Robin Hood Radio.